Please do be seated. There's a lot happening in the passage in Acts this morning. We've got intervention against oppression, we've got witness in worship, and compassion and conversion. And I hope that there's something from any of those that you'll be able to take away yourselves as God speaks to you where you are on your Christian journey today. Paul is in Philippi, and he's previously come to the place of prayer where he met Lydia, who was baptized. And this passage starts again where they were going to that place of prayer. And they came across a girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination. It's interesting, there are actually two cases of enslavement here, because as Luke writes that the slave girl had this spirit, so the girl acknowledged that Paul was a slave or a servant of the Most High God. Now, whilst this is true, Paul did not like this being pronounced by a spirit of divination, so he had to deal with this. And so we have a situation where we have a spiritual dependence. The girl on the fortune-telling evil spirit, which is binding her and is abusing her understanding of the mystical, or the numinous as a word that defines those things that we don't understand. Paul, on the other hand, is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he, as the girl has says, is a servant of the Most High God. But rather than being in bondage, Paul, of course, is focusing on the salvation that God brings him. The mystical, the numinous is exalted by Paul rather than being abused by the owners of the girl. So Paul demands of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And of course the owners did not like this, because there was a source of income gone from them. And so dragging Paul and Silas to the magistrates, they condemned them for disturbing our city. And I want you to just hold on to those words about disturbing our city. Because what I'm challenged by, and perhaps can challenge you too, is, are we disturbing our city by what we say and do in the name of Jesus? Or are we being unobtrusive in our faith and not noticed? So I want us to explore that, and perhaps we can think about how we can be a little more overt in witnessing to the truth as Paul did. Because that's what he was doing. He was following the words of the prophet and the words that Jesus himself used. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. So this was the truth that Paul was exhibiting by revealing and declaring God's glory to this girl. And God reveals his glory to us through what Christ has done for us. We're just coming toward the end of the Easter season, which culminates with the Feast of Pentecost next week. And Easter was in itself that celebration of Jesus's rising from the dead from the darkness of the Good Friday. And we must always remember that. We remember that when we come around the Lord's table today to share our communion, that we come remembering what Jesus has done for us. And we need to think about how that impacts upon our lives. So the magistrates flogged and imprisoned Paul. This is where he witnessed through his worship. In the prison cell, he was chained and secured in body, but his spirit was praying and singing to the Lord. And what a testimony that must have been for the other prisoners, and indeed the jailer, who we read later was so moved by what had been said that when he thought they'd escaped and realized they hadn't, he asked them what he should do. But I'm leaping ahead. So in the prison cell there, Paul is experiencing a suffering that may or may not be a suffering that is called upon each of us as Christians. We are called to suffer for Christ. And we only need to think of our brothers and sisters in parts of the world where to admit to being a Christian is to be condemned to persecution, expulsion from the community, and possibly death. Now, we can rejoice that we are not subject to that suffering. But there may be, for those of you who are able to talk a little bit and witness in your workplace or with your neighbours, you might be subject to some ridicule. There is a certain amount of suffering there. Are we able to face that? Are we able to talk of our faith and suffer in Christ's place? And in the book of Philippians that Paul wrote in chapter 3, he talks of being delighted in suffering as Christ to become more like him. And just as Paul intervened in the situation with the girl, so God intervened here in Paul's capture. The glory of God was again displayed in that that earthquake, as the prison was rocked and the chains were broken and the captives were released. And then we come to the third cameo, where Paul's compassion for the jailer brought about his conversion. As Paul says, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." Because the jailer thought, well, any right-thinking man, if the doors of the prison had opened and the chains had dropped off, where would you be? You'd be out the door. And that's what he thought would have happened. But I suppose Paul had some sense that if that did happen, then the jailer, if he didn't kill himself, would certainly be killed by the authorities. Don't harm yourself. And the jailer's reaction is such a wonderful model of how, if there are some here who are still seeking to find God and know him more closely, he knew his realization for salvation. He responded to the word that Paul preached to him, and he declared his faith. And the beauty of this, I find it's this expression of how he and his entire family were baptized without delay. If anybody here this morning is not baptized and meets with our Lord here this morning, then let's baptize you without delay. What a wonderful testimony to God's love that he reveals himself to you in that way, as he did to the jailer. And they rejoiced. They rejoiced because they were all together in this. He and his entire family, his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. So this is the third case of a freedom that comes in this passage today. There was the girl who was exorcised by Paul from the evil spirit and was freed from the oppression of that spirit. Maybe, that may be a prayer of some of us today, to be freed from a spirit that's oppressing us. And Jesus wants you to be freed. Paul had physical freedom. He was released from that prison by God's glory as he was worshipping in the adversity of that dark prison space. And finally, the jailer, freed from the paganism of his belief. He experienced the display of God's glory in the compassion that Paul showed him by not escaping. So what does that say to us? I wonder how we can express our compassion. And in our gospel reading from John, we can see the combination of love and unity. As Jesus says, may they be in me as I am in you. How we can be united together with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So there are several, there are the two cases here again of taking care. Lydia, just before this reading, in last week's reading, Kay invited Paul to come and stay and gave him hospitality. The jailer washed Paul and Silas's wound. It was an act of penitence after hearing the gospel. So where can we show hospitality and generosity to those in need around us? Something that I've literally just put to the wardens, and we haven't even discussed the PCC, so it's a little preemptive, so forgive me. But I was delighted to see that in Whitney we are welcoming some Syrian families. And there is an opportunity, perhaps, to sponsor furnishing a room or two for these families. Isn't that a wonderful way of showing love and compassion to those in need? So we're going to talk about this at the PCC next Thursday. And if you would like to support that, speak to a member of the PCC and make your view known so that we can include that in our debate about what we might respond to this opportunity to show love and hospitality. And we have on our doorstep Open Doors, who make known the plight of persecuted Christians around the world. And through our generosity, we can help those who are suffering for the Lord. We can also help those who are victims of disasters. And we can also, in our generosity, pay for the work of the church, which is you, which is me, as we witness to God's love in our community. So what can we do to support one another and support those in need? And then, as Paul witnessed in his worship, how can we witness through our faith? I hope you know your faith is a 7-day faith, that you are confident in what God has wrought in you as you believed in Jesus Christ. And if there are some here who are uncertain, please do speak to me and we can explore what the reality of our faith might be to us. And I always hold on to the words of Peter, where he writes, always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. But do it with gentleness and reverence. It's not thrusting the gospel down people's throats. It's living out the gospel in our love and our witness of the way we live and work. And each of us has a different personal calling of where we display that, whether it is with our families, with our neighbours, with our work colleagues, with those we meet in the street day by day. But because we are all different, we can encourage each other in our witness one to another. And so just as Paul intervened against oppression, how can we stand up for justice? In the passage that just follows this, the magistrates came because Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen, you can't do this to me. And they offered and said, well, look, okay, just go quietly. Be unobtrusive. Just don't make a fuss. And Paul said, no, we're not going quietly. I want the magistrates to come here and apologize. So he was prepared to speak out against the injustice that was done to him, as well as speaking out to the oppression and injustice of the way the girl was being used by her owners. And how can we speak out for those like that girl who have no voice of their own? We can support those organizations such as Open Doors or Barnabas Fund, speaking out for persecuted and imprisoned Christians. We can speak out for those who are at the bottom of the heap socially in our community, who don't have the confidence to speak for themselves. What can we, you and me, do about that? The prophet Micah reminds us, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, that the Lord requires of us to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. So, we are not to be trampled upon. Paul did not allow the magistrates to trample upon him. And sometimes we make the mistake, I think, of allowing ourselves to be a Christian doormat. No, we are to stand up for what is right. By our example, by our conversation, and by our compassion for others. We need to be visible. We need to be passionate about what we believe. Why we are here today in our worship. What are we going to take out from here in our lives tomorrow? Are we called to be unobtrusive in our community? I was challenged when I looked at the village profile, seems months ago now, describing St. Bartholomew's as a welcoming village church, unobtrusive centre-ground churchmanship. And I wonder, do we really want to be inconspicuous, unremarkable and bland? No, we don't. We want to be visible, but with love and reverence. We want to be visible, disturbing our community, I challenge us. Just as Paul disturbed the city and Jesus overturned the temple. But we're not on our own. I wonder how many of you went last weekend to that wonderful Bluebell Wood. And what did you see? Did you see individual bluebells? Or did you see the majesty of the whole swathe of colour as it impacted upon you? Well, my prayer for us is that we are seen by our community like that swathe of colour. We are not on our own. We're not standing individually as individual stems. We are part of that wonderful growth that was displayed there at Edmund and Stacey's farm last weekend. Because being a Christian is not a solitary calling. It's something corporate, literally being part of the body. We are not on our own. And one of the things that we can do is to encourage each other, how we can use the gifts and the talents each of us has in that body to encourage and build each other up. For together, we can change lives. We can not be unobtrusive. We can make our mark in our society. As we support one another, we need to remember that we are to come together, to meet as we are, to support each other, encouraging each other, and helping each other be prepared to live out our lives. And as we come next week, we'll be looking at how we could harness the power of the Holy Spirit, because God has not left us alone. He has left us his Spirit. Amen.